Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Tuesday, August 19th. We're back with you as always.
Good
here
morning.
To serve, to entertain your humble servants.
On this gloomy Los Angeles morning.
Yeah, it is pretty gloomy, huh? Well, maybe it won't be as hot today, yeah.
I know. Maybe we'll get some rain in this terrible drought that we're in.
Yeah, right. Rain. Not in this lifetime, man. It's like, you know what's amazing is that everything's still green around here, you know.
Right.
That's the miracle of California.
Have you seen the ASL ice bucket challenge?
No, I heard about that. What was that all about?
It's supposed to raise awareness. You get nominated and then nominate people, and if you don't pour a bucket of ice on your head within 24 hours, you have to donate to the charity. Mm-hmm. But I guess people in California are being fined.
Really?
Because we're in a drought.
Yeah.
And people are wasting
water and ice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God, man.
Yeah.
So what's ASL?
It's a disease.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know what it was before.
Yeah.
It's to do with your nervous system.
Oh, okay. I thought it was American Sign Language or something.
No.
You know? That's ASL,
no,
too. But I can't imagine they want a charity for that or, like, donations.
Yeah. No, it's a disease. So it's raised awareness. Oh. And a lot of people have either know people or have family members that have suffered that I've seen from Facebook.
Really?
So it's definitely raised awareness, but they've raised $15 million.
Wow.
Yeah, but
I threw that ice bucket thing.
Yeah, but I saw a post this morning from Steve O. He's the guy that does Jackass.
Right.
And he said that with the amount of people and the amount of celebrities, because a lot of celebrities have done it, in challenging other like football teams and big and music groups and all different kinds of people. But with the amount of people that, the amount of reach that these people have and the amount of money they have, more than $15 million should have been raised.
Wow.
Which I guess is somewhat true.
Yeah, I guess $15 million is not a lot when you deal with a disease or something.
And when you have people that are doing it.
Right.
I mean, I think everyone I'm friends with on Facebook has done it. It's every day. That's all my newsfeed is.
Yeah.
It's all these.
So it brings up awareness, but how do they make that money? Do people actually donate?
You donate too, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Yeah, you can donate. I think it's ASL.org.
Mm. Okay. Well, there's so many things to donate to. I don't even know where to start, man.
Right. But that's why I think it's good that there has been so much awareness raised by this cause to make people want to donate to this disease. But we're also in a drought.
Yeah, that's true.
People are getting fined, and that money,
it's not that much water. I mean, it's just a little bit of ice, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess it's a lot of ice, though. Not just a little bit.
Yeah,
right?
I guess when it adds up. Involved. Yeah, when there's more people.
Good. Well, people should be fined for that, you know? I mean, we really need the water here. You know, people don't, they don't really think a lot of when they take showers and stuff like that, you know? I mean, that's a lot of water we waste in a shower.
And even just when you're brushing your teeth.
Yeah.
And you leave the tap on the whole time, you don't realize that time.
Yeah.
You could have turned the tap off and you are saving water.
Exactly. I never did that. And even when I shave, I turn it on and off every time I need to.
Right.
And when I take showers, I try not to be there too long because I'm starting to think how much rain we'd need just to get this water,
I know.
You know? So multiply that by 4 million people here who take 2-3 showers every day, man. That's a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking about every other use, but that's why I recommend that people don't take showers that are too long.
Yeah.
You know.
Cut them down a little bit.
Yeah, some people take very long showers.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
That's a lot of waste, you know, a lot of waste of water.
But maybe we're going to get some rain today.
I don't know. You've been wishful thinking,
too hopeful.
I think. Yeah.
But it's like a tease, you know? It's nice and cloudy and a little chilly. But then there's going to be no rain. That's what we need.
Yeah. But you know what I don't get? I mean, it gets to be like really hot here in the afternoon. Sometimes it's like, you know, I mean, 85 degrees is not that hot. But let's say it's pretty warm. And so when the sun goes down, I look in the car and it's still 85 degrees.
I know.
But it definitely doesn't feel the same as it did at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So how can this be 85 and 85? I don't get it, you know. I mean, at a certain point in the evening, it gets chilly.
Right.
You know, every day. So I don't see how the, you know, even if the air stays warm, it can't be as warm as when the sun's out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, 85 degrees in the sun is different from 85 degrees when the sun's down.
That's true.
Yeah, but it's still 85 degrees, and I don't get it. You
On
know?
Saturday, driving to Glendale, it was about 5:30, and it was 100 degrees.
Yeah,
like, how?
I know.
How? That's so hot.
Well, try to live in Vegas, and you'll see what it
oh
is.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, like Palm Springs, man. I don't know how I ever managed to live there in Vegas. But
isn't Palm Springs a different – there's no humidity.
There's no humidity in Vegas either. They call it dry heat, but it doesn't matter. It's still very hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, you feel like you're going into a furnace. It really is that bad, you know? Because you go into air conditioning all the time, then you come out and you go, wow.
Yeah, it's the big contrast.
You're blasted with this hot air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
That's why I'm not crazy about Vegas in the summer, you know? There's just not, I mean, you can't even sit out in the sun. It's too hot.
Too hot.
You know, so the pool is kind of like last resort, but you have to be in the water if you want to be at the pool.
Right.
Yeah. So, so that's that. A couple of things here. Have you heard of the name Don Pardo? If you ever watched SNL, Saturday Night Live,
mm-hmm.
he's been like the voice that announces everything. And I mean, it's been part of the show the whole time, you know. But the reason I'm bringing this up is the show has been running for 39 years.
Long time.
I mean, I don't know any show that's run that long.
Yeah.
I remember, I mean, I was like 16, 17 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Isn't it something like its 40th season, something?
Yeah,
something
yeah, 39 yeah. years, yeah. So yeah. It'd be the 40th season.
Yeah.
And that's crazy, man. Yeah. I mean, it's really crazy. 40 years.
It's a long
years.
Time for a show to succeed.
I know.
Especially
I know.
Going through so much change. I mean, 39 years.
I know. And
the industry's changed so much, and people still watch that show.
Yeah, you know, and he's got the same, you know, I mean, he's had the same job for that long. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So he was 96 years old, obviously lived a long, long, full life. So that's okay.
Yeah.
I guess at this point, you don't go poor guy, you know.
He passed away?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He died. So,
But yeah, 96, you've lived and you had a great job.
Yeah. I know, not
life.
Very hard. Huh?
Yeah.
I know. Apparently, he was a reporter before, too. So, he was also on The Price is Right, I guess, and Jeopardy. So, but Jeopardy a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, so he's announced quite a bit. And, yeah, I mean, you get a job, you only announce for a few minutes and you're the star. But, you know, I mean, obviously not just anybody can do it, you know, if they kept him on for so long.
Yeah, it's the right personality. And
right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he's probably seen all the team, the staff, the cast change so many times over the years, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah. Met all the big ones like Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd and all them who became like really big.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's Don Pardo. And then also in China, I guess they started cracking down on drugs. So they arrested the son of Jackie Chan. You know who he is? That Chinese actor.
Yeah.
The funny actor that does karate and stuff. So his son was arrested, you know, I don't really care about that, but what I do think is, I mean, they're busting people for marijuana, for smoking it, not even dealing it.
Wow.
Yeah. And I don't
see... Is that what his son was arrested for?
Yeah, they found like, what is it, 100 grams. 100 grams is about 4 pounds or something. I guess that's enough to... No, I'm sorry, that's 4 ounces. Yeah, that's 4 ounces. That's not a lot. You know, so, but it's, I guess when you have that much, they figure you're going to sell it or something.
Right.
You know, but.
That's interesting. So his kid is still in China.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of my favorite movies is Rush Hour.
Really?
Yeah. I love those. There's four, there's three or four of them. I love them.
Oh, great, you saw movies. All of them?
Yep.
Wow.
Really funny movies.
Yeah, this guy's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I can't imagine living in China, you know. I mean, they're so, like, Stone Age in so many of their laws and their rules and stuff, you know. And they really hold, they hold people to anything, you know. You can't do anything there. And I can understand the people that have lived there all their lives. They don't know any better.
Right.
But there's people that go there and move there. Like my brother, he lives there, you know.
Really?
Yeah, and I can't imagine why he would do something like that. But he likes China. What can I say?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Everyone right. to their own, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Whatever they like, you know. Keep me away from China. I'm not interested. I'll go to Japan or something, but... I don't know. I mean, I'm curious about China, but I don't think I would last a few days there.
Really?
Yeah.
And a few days isn't very long. We'll not travel in to go for a couple days.
I know. It's just not worth it. That's why I'm not going, you know. They got gross food there.
I like the food.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay, well, not if you saw what they eat over there. It's not the same Chinese food at all.
I bet.
They'll eat just about anything. Anything you can think of.
Mm-hmm.
Including pets. So it's not just a rumor. Yeah. They eat dogs there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And sometimes you'll see people post pictures of, like, dead dogs, like, hanging and stuff. Mm. Yeah. It's like, you go, how can they, you know? Mm. But sometimes it makes you wonder, I mean, if we eat chickens and cows and stuff, how is that much different, you know? Just because we domesticated dogs. But so to us, they're pets.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, you know, to some people, cows are very, like in India, they're very holy, so they don't do anything to them, you know,
yeah.
or with them. They don't eat them or anything. So, yeah, so to them it would seem weird that we eat them, I guess.
Yeah,
but
I guess so.
Yeah, but I just don't see myself going and eating that stuff. Yeah. And I love Chinese food here, too, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it's totally different, let me tell you. They say the air smells like... of stench all the time, you know?
I've heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's from the food or everything else together, you know. It's just a big place and they're trying to do too much in a small place. I mean, China is
not
that small. Exactly. But when you count all the people they have there, then I'm sure it's pretty crowded at some places in the big cities, you know.
Definitely.
All right. Well, we have a guest sitting here patiently, and you seem like totally busy. You can keep on doing what you've been doing. We'll wake you up at the end of the show. We have Devi in the studio. You call yourself Tantra Devi? Is that what you call yourself?
Fine.
Devi is fine?
Yeah.
Okay. It's sort of like, you know, Superman and stuff like that. Tantra Devi. It seems like...
like
a superhero or something, you know?
Well, the language that's from is very ancient. So it really has a certain vibrational quality. But Devi is an honorarium. Like if you said Rev or, you know, father or minister or, you know.
Oh, and that's in Indian or what?
Yeah, it's Sanskrit. So that's it's not just Indian because India has so many dialects and languages.
Right.
But Sanskrit is a known ancient language that some of the Arabic languages were birthed from.
Mm.
So some of those, like Devi to divine, you can make that translation. So it just kind of means
true.
Like... head mother or priestess, and those that practice and follow a sect of Tantra called Osho, which is one of the American Western versions, they'll use that as a last name. So you'll see, like, Kamala Devi is a pretty infamous polyamorous Tantra practitioner.
Mm.
She had a show on...
Polyamorous is what? Multiple sex partners?
Right. Her show on Showtime was called Married and Dating, for instance. But her name that she uses is Kamala Devi.
Okay.
So my name actually is Holly Devi Amore.
Mm.
And it was just included when I got married because it's an honorarium. So I could just... California's so fun that way.
Yeah.
I could just throw my honorarium in there. So for simplistic sake, cake. I use Devi.
Okay, that's simple enough. Now, of all the languages and countries in the world, why did you pick an Indian name?
Well, actually, I didn't pick it.
Oh, you didn't pick it. This was picked for you.
Are you ready? There's a story behind this. Okay, I first want to just rewind a little bit, and I said gratitude earlier before we started on air, and I just want to thank you again for having me on, and I'm over here Twittering and Facebooking, inviting people to call.
Awesome.
Making sure I get the number correct, because...
Okay, but we don't take phone calls. That's okay. Oh, if they call, we'll take it, but...
Good.
Yeah, usually callers are boring, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, no, they are.
No, we'll keep them exciting.
Okay, all right.
Nonetheless, so Devi, so here it comes. I'm in this, you know, self-empowerment, self-discovery path. Mm. Right, like I was telling you, I wanted to kind of tour some other self-discovery teachers, and I've taken a lot of different things that have come up. I mean, I'm in California,
right?
You know, there's S, which went to Landmark. There's right. you know, New Age churches. There's
right. Zen all, and all
Zen,
that
all
stuff.
Of this stuff. And you know, I had tried Tantra once with a now ex-fiancé when I was like, you know, 22, and we broke up soon after that. So I thought, well, that was fail because we wanted to like work it out. I didn't see what I gained from that in that situation, right?
Right.
So here I am. I'm going through the self-discovery, and I'm having difficulty in the bedroom, and so I'm seeking out some, basically an orgasmic coach. I've, you know, seen it on TV, read it online, watched the Kardashians. I'm like, I need somebody like that.
Really?
Yeah, and I find this lady named Dr. Karina Clark. So I go to one of her Amrita classes, her orgasmic classes, and I watch this, and I'm like, if this is a job, you should sign me up. I'll be the giver or the receiver. I'll be the model. What does it take to do it? And it took a little interview and a little bit of money. And here I find myself in Phoenix, Arizona, in this goddess temple, is what they're calling it, with this Tantra teacher. And I'm, you know, going through this process. And in the middle of it, this... very, you know, mystical woman. I mean, I'm enamored with her, I have to admit. She seems to be like the goddess embodiment right there. So she says, so, and my maiden name is Allsop, so she chooses to call me Allsop. So she says, Allsop. And I say, yes, Dr. Clark. Because at the time, she liked me to call her Dr. Clark. Yes, Dr. Clark. I've had this dream about my boyfriend, and he shall go nameless, who's a deceased rapper, let your mind wander. So he's come to me and told me that you shall be called Devi.
Really?
No, wow. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. And if you know sign language.
Yeah. Okay.
What?
Yeah.
No, I had to whisper it off air. What? Yeah. I'm like, serious? He came to you in a dream. You want me to use this name, Devi? Right.
Yeah.
I'm in this crazy temple. I'm not going to use any name. I was making up names. No. It's just not going to happen. But slowly over time, as I got into the practice, and I began to use it in reference to myself as a reminder of being present and being in a moment of creating sacredness. Like, I was so enamored when I came in, and you have this beautiful money tree plant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is all of the elements that are basic in any paleo religion, even Tantra, honors water. You water the plant, right? The earth is there, the air that it creates. And if it were lit, it would burn as fire.
Right.
And make fire from it.
So those are the elements, the four elements.
Earth, right, earth, fire, water, air.
Right. Now, tell us what Tantra is, because, I mean, I've heard of it many times. I don't know what it means.
Yeah. I have no idea.
I think we should let everybody know before we continue so we know what we're talking about.
Well, we had to start, like, how in the world did you begin to use Devi? Well, first, have you, Charlotte, have you ever heard of Tantra ever, or you have any?
No.
No. This is, like, a whole new word for you.
Yeah.
So I could just make it up right now.
Yeah, you see, I've heard of it.
Be warned, it's that way. There are definitely people making it up, and that's not far from being tantric, let's say. So, and the traditional Indian-based Hindu religion, Tantra yoga is another arm of like Hatha yoga, Ashwanda yoga. If any of those of your listeners are yogic buffs, they'll know what that means. But Tantra began to weave this aspect that Kundalini yoga goes to. So in LA, there's a Golden Bridge. Have you heard of Golden Bridge yoga? Mm-hmm. They practice Kundalini yoga. So I'm going to get to what Tantra means by just briefly addressing what Kundalini is. Mm-hmm. If any of your listeners listeners practice what Jackie Chan practices, Tai Chi, they know about Qi. If they practice Hatha and Yoga, they would call it Prana. If you're a Christian, you might call it the Holy Spirit. It's whatever we're naming that life force that we know that if you're alive, you're plugged in. You don't got to Google it to know that you're plugged in. You're just kind of here, right?
Yeah.
So Tantra, the first part is about a weaving, an ability to weave and interact. So it was one of the first ones that said, let's take that Kundalini energy, which feels really sensual or sexual when it's practiced, because your whole body feels aroused or lit up or on fire or whatever. You know, anybody who's practiced Kundalini has felt that rising heat of energy.
Mm.
Or if you've ever had that experience with a partner that's really intimate and deep, and there wasn't a lot of action going on, but you're feeling that connection. That's tantric.
Okay.
So
you don't focus so much on the performance and stuff, but more like into the feeling and the connection with the other person.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's a huge element. And there's, and, you know, we can get into more elements, but I want to kind of go back to explaining it before you ask the question. So if I were to break down the translation of tantra, it would be a weaving tool of energy.
Okay. In a spiritual way or in any kind of way?
Well, exactly. It could be any kind of way. It's a non-judgmental, non-comparison kind of allowing philosophy if you're non-secular with it. Like, you could be a tantric practitioner and never go that realm of the sexual energy side besides with yourself, even without even, like, some people have a very fundamental practice of not even engaging in physical touch. And then others might consider that it's only a physical touch practice.
Mm.
So that's the beautiful part. It's a huge umbrella, like Christianity, of interpreting what that weaving practice is. But there are some basic elements that are to it. So a tantric experience has breath involved. Okay, you're consciously breathing. It's consciousness, so everything's conscious. It's like the Zen garden whose each movement is scraping the rake across the sand, or when you pour the water to water the plant, whoever's doing that is consciously feeding the plant, right? So it's a consciousness. It's awareness. It's having an intention, usually preset, like, I had no specific intention today about what to talk about. I had an intention to be here, be on time, and feel comfortable and prepared. That
Great.
Was my intention.
And you've managed to do that.
Thank you very much.
That's cool.
So I have a successful practice.
Yes, and you got here on time.
Yes.
So you decided to adopt this this philosophy, if you will, and integrate it into your life.
That's right.
Did you have to go to India in order to do that?
I haven't managed to go yet. There are some people that contact me that hope and say, well, what guru have you gone to? So let's talk about American Tantra and what if you were to go to Kashmir or to Mumbai, India, you would see as tantric. I mean, it's pretty basic, again, and you can experience it. You can have tantric experiences without ever going to India. Because like Greek athletics and yoga, it's basic human movement patterns are in there. So when you ask if it was energetic or what is it, well, like I explained, there's the non-secular or non-religious aspect. So the technology of tantra is that palatable energy we talked about, kundalini, chi, prana. That's the everybody can experience that without being a daily tantric practitioner.
Right.
When you have the breath and consciousness and awareness, there's some other elements that are really important, though, that bring it into, because this could be tantric right now, especially if we added toning and movement and that touch and that connection. So those to me are an actuating element of tantra practice. So you could see someone in a solo practice maybe sitting there in some kind of you know, Kama Sutra position, as it were, or in Laya Yoga. Those are the fundamentals of the movements. Mm-hmm. But nobody in America has been held to having to have the guru go, oh, here's your mantra, here's your special name, and here's your only practice. We kind of took it and took that technology and made it our own. So then there's the Osho practitioners. They're pretty renowned in the Western North Pacific Northwest area. And then, like I said, I found Dr. Clark here and discovered this whole thing about becoming a goddess is the other part that's very American, okay?
What does that mean, to become a goddess?
I think that's a great... I think anybody can become a goddess. You have an inner goddess.
Even I can?
Oh, sure, Sam.
Okay.
Get in touch with that inner goddess would be giving yourself a bubble bath in my world.
Oh, wow.
Right? So getting in touch with water, one of the elements, right? Self-care. And you know how when you get in a nice, warm soak, you kind of go, So you automatically breathe out. That's a relaxation breath that would be practiced if you were getting up in the morning and doing what I would do as a practitioner, which I think would help to understand it.
Right.
Part of it is having conscious breath, setting the intention. And for me, I do an orgasmic practice to help manage, balance my life. For instance, I am having hot flashes. I'm 47 years old, and I'm like, what is going on? Suzanne Summers, please help me, right? If you want to say superhero, there she is for me. She's like, I'm 72 and having sex with my husband twice a day. I'm like, that's tantric to me, right?
And we're the same person too, huh?
For so many years. Yeah, right? And it was on the Huffington Post. It's a great little article to reference about, you know, these longevity in marriages, and connection and transparency are key.
Yeah.
So to me, you know, getting in touch with that, it's like, wow, what would I tell myself? I would say, try an orgasm.
Right.
You know, I take on this challenge of like, what can an orgasm not make better in my life? So, if
not many things.
And if possible, in the middle of the hot flash, I get help from my partner or my favorite trusty tool, the magic Hitachi. And, you know, and definitely it gets me through it. And I don't have so many. So I notice this ratio between a calm, centered self and a Devi who had less, you know, transition issues with going through what my body is naturally experiencing.
Right.
You know, I like to be the superhero hippie and say, no hormones. And then I'm like, oh, no, I'm going.
Yeah.
And so it's really having no judgment with the experience that I'm having.
Right.
And living that and going, wow, Tantra isn't just about moving energy. It isn't just about sexual connection. It isn't just about doing yoga and breath. It is a way of being non-judgmental, and you don't get so worked up because you don't really have any judgment to be worked up over.
That's
so
true.
So do
yeah.
you teach this, or do you just practice it?
I practice and teach it. So one of the reasons we timed it is I want to invite listeners to come to a class and to kind of check out what this is about. And right now I'm only hosting one for women. I hope the men will understand that a woman who is confident and knows her own body and feels comfortable in her own skin is one of the best people to be involved with in a relationship.
Right, obviously, because if she's not into it, it's the worst place to be. Now, so you said like that your sex life wasn't great, and that's what sort of drove you to look for something. What does that mean? I mean, how can sex not be good?
Oh, wow. Well, you know, I'm glad you're a man in asking that. Because it does lend to us having this judgment. It's like you just said it. You said, but even before you asked that question, you said, well, if she's not into it, it's not good.
Right.
And there is a myth out there that somehow if a man has an erection that a woman is expected to enjoy it, and he's enjoying it too.
Mm.
And so at your time in life, you've discovered it's more than about the penetration.
Right.
It's about being able to connect. And so what I've discovered as teaching this in class and one-on-one is that working with yourself, not on yourself, because we're okay, we're human, we're perfectly messed up, and we're perfectly perfect at the same time, right?
Right.
So allowing that and being in non-judgment took practice for me, even with myself alone.
Mm.
Like I wouldn't allow enough time. I'd be like, oh, this is taking forever. Or I wouldn't allow myself to, you know, we don't have such a public view of our sexual center like you guys do.
Right.
You have to kind of spelunk and explain explore down there. Right. It's a hand mirror. And then when you look, it might be quite devastating the first time. Oh, my God, that's sexy. Really? Right? I mean, like, wow, maybe I should wax that. I don't know. So whatever a woman may experience, those are some of the self-talking comments I had.
Yeah.
But I did the practice with myself first because I had been through so much self-help and had results that didn't work.
Wow.
And I at first attributed it to the self-help person. And then I realized I had to attribute it to the level of coachability that I had.
Hmm.
And so when I was beginning and I went through the path first with myself, I took to heart what she recommended and taught and actually did it and followed up with the practice and doing the daily practice. I joined Facebook groups like Dawn Cartwright has one about a self-pleasure practice. Mm. And 21 days of conscious self-pleasure can be a chore and a discipline and a work and a meditation.
Right. So, and that actually helps you reach orgasms more easily?
I think so. It's just like what I experienced for myself. It's like any muscle. You have to kind of build it up and work it.
Right.
But unlike the big dumb muscles, if you work out or run or walk, they get tired and ache. For us, they just quit working.
Yeah.
So suddenly you go from feeling really good to nothing. And, you know, some have called it on the internet, you might hear of clitoral fatigue. I'm like, what's that? I better check this out. I'm over here online because someone Twittering me. Clitoral fatigue, I better find out what this is.
All these things that people talk about, I never heard of.
I hadn't either. So, you know, and I consider myself a shade tree sexologist. So I'm thinking I should know about this stuff. And so I allowed some people to give me feedback. And it's something I personally had discovered in that 21-day practice is I would be self-pleasuring and suddenly it didn't feel orgasmic anymore. And actually I had sensations that one might call pain, burning, aching. I'm like, wow, what is that? Well, as it turns out, there's a muscle there. It's just not as exposed as yours,
right,
Sam.
Uh-huh.
And it can get tired.
Oh, wow.
And worn out. And so you have to learn to take breaks and ebb and a flow around one, round two, maybe round three and four.
Mm.
But to get past round one, for me, I was like one orgasm after I discovered it with Dr. Clark and then done. Yeah. I'm like, I'm good. And then I didn't feel the ability to go forward. So it really challenged me in this practice to keep attempting to self-pleasure and to reset. Okay, well, if I couldn't, maybe I should start with a bath again. And I would just start over the practice until I reached that feeling of orgasm. And it would vary. I didn't even know there were various orgasms you could have.
Yeah.
So the one that I thought was really orgasmic became just like step one to the peak that I would actually experience the more time and allowing and non-judgment and comparison. So when I got to be in the group and get everybody else's feedback, men were having challenges, women were having challenges. I'm whipping out my electric tool feeling guilty because, you know, it's a tantric practice. I'm thinking, you know, no plugins.
Yeah, exactly. No toys necessary.
Right? You would think that wrong.
Really?
No. So to me.
Some women need that kind of stimulation, right? Like
some
fingers are not enough and stuff. Yeah.
Yep.
So, but I hear, it's easy sort of like to get used to it too much, right?
I mean, well, that I think that again,
because it's like an easy shortcut.
Myth number one is that any sex is good sex for a guy. We're going to say that's been debunked. Myth number two, we'll call it vibrator tolerance.
Okay.
The class of vibrators that are out today are phenomenal.
Mm.
And their ratio and speeds, pulsing, and how they feel.
Mm-hmm.
The reason the Hitachi is such a big plus for so many women, and I know this isn't visual, so you're going to have to go online and check out some anatomy, is that when it's applied, it actually covers the entire 2 to 6 inch area that women have of orgasmic erectile tissue, because the whole thing is a larger surface area that's contacting the body.
Right.
And it has a couple of round edges. As you can see, I've carefully explored the benefits of the Hitachi.
Right. So the Hitachi is that massager, whatever they sell
magic
as massage.
Wand,
right,
yes,
whatever
yes.
it is.
And so for like...
I didn't know what it was when people started talking about Hitachi. And then I saw one. I said, oh, so that's the Hitachi.
And it
I
is
know
a fabulous
it.
Large tissue massager. It does
yeah.
benefit to start massaging yourself for
yeah.
self-care, your partner, if you're involved. Involving them in your self-pleasure, which I highly recommend if you need support,
right.
get it from your partner.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. But this is, I mean, this is no like portable vibrator. I mean, this thing is a bulldozer, right? I mean, it's
well,
like
it
serious
does, like
stuff.
Like I said, it covers a larger surface area. That's why it's good for therapeutic massage as well.
Okay.
And that's part of it. So it for me and not for everyone, is all I'm saying for that on the Hitachi. And to experiment with vibrators is a little bit challenging. It's not like you can return them. But if you connect with me on Twitter, I found a place in Texas that actually takes them, sterilizes them, and distributes them to women who can't afford vibrators.
Wow.
Yes, as a outreach. So I
Yikes.
Just thought,
yeah.
more orgasmic women, happier planet.
Yeah, we'll exactly.
figure that one,
there,
right?
There you go. That's pretty cool. I'm sure the owner is like a very giving type of person. You
yes,
know?
She is.
Yeah.
But
so when you were doing the 21-day self, whatever.
Self-pleasure.
Yeah.
Practice, right.
When you were doing that, what did your partner think about that?
Well, you know, actually at the time, I was not involved in a serious relationship like I am now. And so it was really because I wanted to have the intention of attracting a partner that would be perfect and support me in this kind of work and be as understanding they could be. And I just had certain things I knew I wanted because I had this habit of like thinking about what I didn't want in a relationship and seeming to attract that person. I'm mm. like, well, this is not working, you know, my picker must be broke. And then I'm learning through this practice that, no, I'm really perfectly human. So perhaps it's the lack of focused awareness, intention, consciousness on cultivating that attraction, being a magnetic woman mm-hmm. and attracting what I would call like kings or someone who had that sense of self-confidence that I was emitting and mm-hmm. comfortable in that presence because it can come across to men who are in low self-esteem city, and a lot of women we are too, right? Certain
yeah.
areas. If you start comparing, you'll go right down the street to low self-esteem city. I mean, you met me through Veronica Avlov. I mean, she's like a iconic woman as far as in the porn industry is, and I could compare myself, and I don't look anything like her.
Right.
Or I could be in that place of non-judgment, and like we were talking about being a goddess and mm-hmm. seeing that within. So this is all going to kind of tie together. So I wanted to have someone who got that I didn't need you to be a tantric, you know, follower.
Right.
I just wanted you to be aware of the connection that could happen and could be cultivated with consciousness.
And after this process, you were able to find somebody like that?
You just wouldn't believe it. He just kind of showed up out of nowhere. You know, but that may be a different show. You might want to invite him on because he tells a great story too. And he's a very fascinating person himself. So here's this really complex person I cultivate. And he's, you know, like this morning, extremely supportive of the process that I go to show up. This mm-hmm. is no different to me than showing up for a class or a session because I want to embody that presence of goddessness, the essence of God. That's what
right.
it's contrived from.
There's a certain yeah. amount of responsibility that goes with being a goddess, obviously.
I would think so.
Yeah.
So whatever you call yourself, goddess, priestess, Devi, whatever, you know, house goddess, domestic goddess, it doesn't matter. It's just having that personal respect for yourself. And for me, that 21-day practice has carried over into an almost daily practice so I could keep tapping into how I felt,
right.
you know? And I can move through like, oh, well, what am I supposed to talk about today? Or whatever it was that could be blocking me, seemingly blocking me from my experience. Because I want to show up here with my best, you know, voice forward as it is,
right.
to share to your audience about Tantra. It's much easier than one at a time through my website or through however, you
right.
know, a meetup group, however we're connecting about it. But people find me And that's when I figured out I had something to share as a teacher,
yeah,
and chose to, like you said, go to class,
yeah,
and get someone who had been doing this and teaching other people. And they had students that had a successful practice at different ways and levels. And I went, wow, well, I'll take this. And then I took some other trainings, and I went, gee, what I learned here, I found permeate in different areas.
Right.
So I'm going to go back and visit again. And I got certified to teach other people to be tantric practitioners themselves. So that there was this culture of endorsement, just like in the beginning days of private training. You could go for a weekend online and be a personal trainer. And you could go to the National College of Exercise Professionals and go through a six-week program, do an internship, meet with other people who are doing it, learn how to start your own business, how to have your own practice, because you're a counselor if you're coaching people.
Right.
You want to have something to offer that they want to experience.
Right. So you teach this stuff to other people, right?
I do.
Share this.
Yes.
Okay, so how can people, what can they expect when they come to you? Do you do the 21-day with them? Or is that like a different thing? Is it tailored differently for every person?
Actually, the latter is true. Each person has their kind of individual program, and we have a group class. So what I'm offering at the end of the month is a little introduction to what this 7-day course is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a goddess-to-goddess healing. So it'll be women like yourself and I in a group gathering together and exploring what the sacred spot is for a goddess, for a woman, embodying that as a practice, physically, emotionally, getting the connection of the mind, body, spirit. So with Tantra, there's a lot of talk about the chakras,
mm-hmm,
and auras and the body. So this kind of begins to help you feel that connection and,
right,
experience it as an individual so that you can do a 21-day practice.
I see. So you do it in groups as well, right?
Right.
Wow, so, I'd love to be a fly on the wall in that room, man.
I think we're going to find out if we can do the thing with doing it for men. And Charles Muir offers this for a group, is that you end up, you know, you need to have a partner to practice with, and if you're partnerless,
mm-hmm,
how do you do that?
Right.
Well, there's this phenomenon I discovered when I went to his workshop. So Charles Muir taught Karina Clark. I said, I should check this out. And I went to their couples workshop as a solo woman, and we had to invite more men. For the first time in these groups that I've been going to for 6 years, we had 8 women who needed some men who were aware, who were kind of talking more about women and orgasms than they were sports.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Gather together, go,
yeah. Not easy to find that.
Well, actually, I'm surprised there are actually some volunteers, you know.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. So I had the first time my experience of someone who I would consider a novice doing the practice with me. And I went, wow, what I'm teaching really is transferring to other people. And you can, even the first time you go through the practice, either as a group or an individual student, be able to go home and practice it with your partner.
Right.
Because ideally, what we're doing is moving energy consciously so you're not holding stuff. And what do I mean by energy? You know, when you have something that's unresolved, like, for instance, a friend of mine's mother has a house up near Oakhurst where that fire's burning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a real-time problem.
Yeah,
right?
Right.
And, you know, how do you tantrically handle that? You know, you breathe and be in the moment and do what's right in front of you. That's pretty much philosophy that we've always known as humans when you get to the heart of religion or your non-theological practices. They're like, know yourself and do what's right in front of you.
Right.
So bringing that into a real-time group practice when it's around sexuality, and so many women have, especially in this country, hang-ups about their personal sexuality, it's a different vibe when we gather together as women with the intention to transform it. So you almost take healing out of the picture, because it's understandable that you're coming in there with something that you're holding or resistant to, and you're merely just letting it go. And then you'll do that practice again, whether in group or alone. So it allows yourself to kind of be where you're at, you know, the be here now. You can experience it right away through,
right,
that non-judgmental, non-comparison of yourself.
Right. So you and you actually teach techniques too, right?
Like absolutely.
Some women maybe don't know how to masturbate and please themselves and
or
things like that.
Or they're trying
right?
and they're like me in that 21 day, like day three. Yeah. I'm like and 45 minutes.
Wow.
I think we're barely even at 30 minutes now on the air. You know, it's like, how could it take that long? I'm supposed to know how to do this.
Right.
And then realizing there it was. I was holding a judgment.
Oh, wow.
And so go, okay. Yeah. So when I let
that go. So it was all in your head. Pretty much.
Well, all in your head and all in the root, as
yeah.
it were.
Okay.
Okay. And the, but those two are connected.
Mm-hmm.
And it's obvious in the physical when you look at us from the moment of inception and we create from two cells that split, right? Sperm and egg come together and these cells split apart and they kind of form around this tube. And I call it from the rooter to the tutor. Those those nervous systems, and you talk about ALS, which is a nervous disorder, those nervous systems run through that basic channel. And we tap into that through the body, through the yogic part of Tantra. That's why there's the Kundalini yoga. And people are there, and it's a non-sexual but very highly charged experience.
Mm.
Okay? And then you can go to, like, a cuddle party, and it's a sensual, still non-sexual, highly charged and erotic experience.
Right.
And then in the class that I'm teaching, it is only for adults because it will involve nudity.
Mm.
And it could appear sexual because women will be cultivating their sacred spot. Sometimes
right.
it's orgasmic, sometimes it's not.
Right.
And that's where it differs from what you may see on pornography, where you miss all that cultivation by the woman who's showing up there as the actress, what she does to be that orgasmic and
right.
live.
Right.
Mm. Very interesting. So how can people find out more about this?
You know, I think the best way is to find me through probably through my Twitter account right now because I don't have the class listed. Oh, that's not true. I have it on meetup.com. So
meetup.
I'm on Meetup, and under Holly Devia Moore, you can find me on meetup.com. And then I can tell you more about the Tantra teaching. If you're curious about getting certified to either be a Tantra therapist or teacher, then you would go to the site where I'm co-teaching, and that's karina.com/T3. So I'm going to spell it if you really want to get there. Yeah, you know, and this is her given name, CORYNNA.com/T3. That's for the Tantra therapist training. And it would be 7 days, and it's intense and amazing. And I'm really excited to be co-teaching it because I know I'm going to know more about myself from that experience. That,
right.
That's the excitement. It's what you get to know about you, however you want to have the practice.
Right. So now if someone is not comfortable in groups and stuff, do you do this one-on-one too?
I do.
Okay.
I do it. And also I'm connected with other practitioners that do as well. So depending on what type of practice or how deep you want to dive into your experience, there is the Tantra rainbow, so to speak, where it's white, breath, very austere to red, sensual, and where nudity is involved. So
right.
There has to be consent and interviews and an understanding of what the person is looking to experience.
Right.
Some married couples have even invited Tantra practitioners in as coaches into their life and their bedrooms to allow that. And there was a Showtime, another Showtime's been great with this. They brought Freddie and the Tantra Muse in and coached the couples through a fire breath orgasm. Mm. And one of the participants goes, there's something happening down there. So that's indicative to what my experience was. Mm. I knew something was supposed to be happening down there, but it wasn't.
Right.
And my partner was inept at the time of helping me pull that out of me. Now I know enough about myself that when I connected with him, I could kind of help him help me.
Right,
know?
Yeah.
And we had this amazing connection that pulls us together that way.
Yeah, so you have to let your partner know what turns you on and what you like. You can't expect them to know and to be in your head.
They're not psychic yet.
Right.
You've got to
exactly.
teach the men to be psychic women. And
right.
that's why I feel that so many women who get into this practice are drawn, like Veronica says, I want to teach the women.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the experiences we had with another goddess was she was triggered by Veronica's austere beauty mm-hmm. and light. Here is this person in a seeming unconscious world actually practicing a conscious practice and not even knowing what Tantra is, but being drawn to it. So that's how it is for a lot of people. And then for some, it's Tantra Shmantra. Great. Just get the technology down.
Exactly.
Just be conscious of the eye contact. And, you know, watch when you go into an elevator. We're so afraid to connect.
Right.
And I think once we get through that, you're going to find this gradual shift where, you know, things like what's happening in Ferguson isn't so explosive because people can feel and be heard.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. So everybody go find out what is your Twitter?
Oh, it's at Shamana Devi. That's it. At
Shamana Devi.
Yeah, S-A-J-M-E.
Devi, I mean.
Yeah.
Yes.
So female shaman.
There you go. Goddesses all over the place.
That's right.
Well, Devi, thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
You so
definitely
much for
enlightened
having.
Us quite a bit. And it's definitely worth exploring, I think, a little bit if you if you feel maybe bored with your sex life or you just want to explore more.
Spice it up, man. Why not?
Exactly.
You know?
You only live once.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go. So it's always encouraging to see women in charge of their sexuality. They're not shy about it. You know, they're like, hey, I'm woman. You know.
Hear me, mom.
Hear me, yeah. Hear me do whatever. All right. Well, Devi, thank you so much. Everybody, check out
Shamana Devi. Shamantra, whatever. I know
Devi.
You'll find the right person if you just start looking.
Right.
That's what's cool because it's what you're looking for. You just want to reflect someone who has a quality you want to explore because there are so many people that are just saying, I'm tantric because they feel it and know it. You might not check it into a little bit, you know. We don't have a better business bureau for tantricas yet.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, I mean, it does make sense because I know that sex involves a lot of breathing, you know, so I can see how that goes together, you know.
Exactly. And then you can kind of use that heavy breathing to cultivate it, especially when you as a woman have a self-practice and you have something that takes you out of the moment. You can start that fire breath, and because you've practiced daily, it comes right there. It's just like when you learn to meditate, the meditation becomes easier to get into the more you practice it. So it's just working the sex muscles.
There you go.
The way that works best for you.
There you go. And that's a good way to start the day.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Devi, thank you so much.
Thank
There's still a lot to talk about, so we invite you back anytime.
Thank you.
And everybody go out and check out the classes and the sessions and practice and everything, and you guarantee the better sex life.
Absolutely. Better
which
sex
makes,
now.
Which make your life better overall. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you.
See you tomorrow.
For the best in morning radio, tune in to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte. Only on LA Talk Radio.